want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm leaving, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right, and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be here with you this afternoon with the hopes that the things that we'll say will aid you as you continue your journey as a Bible student. Again, this is a live radio call-in broadcast. If you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and give us a call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will look into God's Word to find what He has to say to answer the questions that may be on your heart. Again, that number is 308-9564.
We live in a day and a time where there are a lot of people that are having various levels of relationship with God or their Creator, and a lot of them have to do with their own personal relationship, and thus they feel safe in that because there is no fingers to be pointed at them because of their relationship with God. In Ecclesiastes, the very last verse of the book, it brings out that God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it is bad. And we thought today's theme will focus upon this until you interrupt us, which would be fine. We'd be more than happy to stop our flow of discussion in this to answer your Bible questions, because you see, this is a live broadcast, and you can call in your Bible questions right now at 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak concerning the question that is on your heart. And so go ahead and call right now before the lines fill up and before the questions pile up, and we'll be glad to answer your questions. 308-9564. We have one line available right now, so go ahead, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. As I mentioned just now, Ecclesiastes, the very last verse, reminds us that God will bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing will be revealed, whether it's good or bad. You see, no matter who we are, whether we're Jew or Gentile, whether we're rich or poor, no matter what background we are or what part of the earth we're from, we all get comfortable in our religious processes to the point to where sometimes we think God is not seeing what we're doing. And I would like to direct you to Ezekiel chapter 8. That's a big Old Testament, the major prophet in the Old Testament, in chapter 8. And here is an amazing story of what took place back then in the time of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, the fifth day, that I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, and the hand of the Lord fell upon me." Of course, Ezekiel talking. "Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire from the appearance from the waist downward, fire, and from the waist upward in the appearance of brightness like the color of amber. And he stretched out a form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where they set an image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. And so here we have Ezekiel that has been snatched up by a lock of his hair, and he's been taken to Jerusalem. Then verse 5, and he said, Son of man, lift up your eyes now toward the north. And I lifted up my eyes toward the north, and there in the north was an altar. Of the altar gate was an image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations of the house of Israel commit, and to make me go far away from my sanctuary? And now turn again, and you're going to see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked there, there was a hole in the wall. And he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. So when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw. And there was every sort of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. And verse 11, it said, there stood before them the 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jehazai, the son of Shaphan, each man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? And every man in his own room of his idols. And they say, The Lord does not see us, and the Lord has forsaken the land. And then verse 13, he said, Turn again, and you will see greater abominations than what they are doing. And so you can see this chapter unfold here. He is showing with great detail what is going on in the secret places, even among those elders of Israel, even among those that are priests and women, and how that they are doing terrible things that are sinful and wrong for them to be doing. And because of this, God is pointing out to Ezekiel, I'm bringing punishment upon them because of their deeds. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, my friends, people are still the same. We will do things, we'll practice certain things, and we will get to the point to where we are thinking that that God is not seeing us do these things, that He is not aware of us doing these things, that we can get away with these things. However, Ezekiel makes it very clear that we need to make certain what we are doing is before the Lord. And we have a caller right now calling in this question being asked concerning Ecclesiastes 12:14. What is every secret thing? Well, I'm glad you asked, Ben, because Nick has been preparing his thoughts along this line, and he's ready to elaborate on those. And again, thank you for listening today, Ben. And all of you that are listening today, I hope you're listening with open Bibles, because it is God that we are wanting to let speak to us all today from His Word and His Word only.
Well, Ben, those secret things would be some of those things that we do when no one is looking. It would be inclusive of the things that happens within our heart. God has the ability to look into our minds and understand the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And so we may not never say something improper, but in fact, God has the ability to see our thoughts. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to go ahead and tell our listeners that you can call right now and join us in this discussion, 308-9564, 308-9564. Again, 308-9564, the lines are open. It's just about time for us to take our first break. We'll be right back. But after the break, we'll kind of pick up with this and then try to talk a little bit more about what are these hidden things. Again, go ahead and call, even while we're at break, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, You can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we are back live again, and we want you to know that you can call in right now at 308-9564. We had someone to be live on the air, and we made a mistake here. If you'll call right back, we'll be glad to let your question come on the air, and we'll get you right back on. 308-9564. And Mr. Stevens, I believe it's a question he's bringing up concerning some of the denominations and doctrines, and so hopefully we'll get him live back on the air in just a moment. 308-9564.
Now, before we went to break, Ben had this question concerning what are all these hidden things that's spoken of there in Ecclesiastes? Well, and it would be those things, again, that we do when no one's looking or we think nobody's looking because God does see. It'd be those things that may take place in our heart. I call your attention to Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah chapter 17, picking up in verses 9 and 10, here it speaks of the heart. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing. And so one of those hidden things could be the things, again, that we do in our hearts. I believe we have a live caller.
Yes, you're on the air. Mr. Stevens, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how can we help you? Glad we got you back.
Yes, I was, that's just something that was bothering me for a while. Not bothering me, but I was just wondering about.
Okay, what's that?
Everyone has, it seems like every denomination, we got so many different denominations. We have so many different doctrines. It's like everyone thinks that they're right. Everyone believes that they're right. I feel like I want to know, is it possible that we all can be wrong?
Well, let's just ask God what he has to say about that. I'm turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, where the very first denomination, if you want to call it that, the very first division began that we have a record of was there at Corinth. And he says, I plead with you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, does that describe what's going on today?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. So I think you're barking up the right tree there. And so every time that we would come up with a man-made doctrine or a man-made teaching that would divide us away from what God's Word says, then, or even giving allegiances to men, and that's what actually what was going on there, if you continue in the reading of 1 Corinthians 1, that they were calling themselves after men like Paul or Peter or Apollos. And now these were good men, but they were not worthy to be called at themselves or people to line up behind them because Jesus is the one that died for us. He's the one that owns the church, and he is the one that we're baptized into. And so we need to stick with that.
There's also another passage there in the book of John, the 8th chapter, where Jesus tells us something that we can know. And so the question is, can we really know, you know, what's the right thing to do? What's the things that God would have us to do in worship and how we ought to be spiritually? Can we really know that, or could we all be wrong? Well, in John the 8th chapter, in verse 31 and 32, the Bible says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Jesus says that the truth is something we can know. And we might not all agree on it, but Jesus has said clearly it is absolutely something that we can know.
And we can know it, even to the point to where that he gives us a stern warning in Galatians chapter 1, where Paul himself brings out a warning saying that though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, that is back then, 2,000 years ago, let him be accursed. Now, these are verses that really should alarm people today, shouldn't it?
Yes, it should.
Because we're doing everything but sticking with God's word. We must speak all of what God says, nothing but what God says. So help us God. And so,
but
go ahead.
The thing is, most people sincerely believe that they are right.
I know.
And that's the problem, you know, because, I mean, if you believe that you're right, nothing, that's like nobody else can tell you anything different.
I know. And so it's not going to be what we believe that will get us to heaven unless our belief is built upon God's word. Romans 10:17, yes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if our beliefs are not built upon that, then there will not be anything that will get us to heaven. And so we've got to go through the Bible.
And you know, God warns us of this, you know, trusting our feelings or our belief. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, the idea that it leads to death. And so we can't trust our feelings. We can't trust the way we believe. We have to trust the word of God.
We want to say thank you so much for calling today and expressing this and sharing with us your thoughts on this, because it is to be alarming to us. If you want more information on this or any other subject, I don't know if you've ever enrolled in the course, but we would encourage you to go ahead and call 553-5157. There's an operator standing by, and we'll be glad to send you a correspondence course that will address what the Bible has to say about this and how that we can just get to the message of what God wants us to follow, rather than getting all confused with all these things man has come up with.
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Again, to join us right now in our discussion, you can call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will be more than happy to go to God's Word to answer the question that may be on your heart. Today we've been talking about this idea of the secret or hidden things, and that God will call those things, even those things that we think that nobody knows about, God will bring those things into judgment. He'll call those things into judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, we have Paul actually saying similar what we discussed there in Ecclesiastes. He says in verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." God will reveal the hidden things. He will bring those things to light. And he will reveal the counsels of the heart. And, you know, sometimes we'll think things that's inappropriate, things that are wrong. But God knows those things as well. I believe we have a question.
Yes, we have Margaret calling in from Somerville today. Margaret, thank you so much for listening. And we certainly appreciate you taking out the time to listen and study through God's word with us. And her question is, what is the doctrine and what is the name of the church? So she asked two questions here. And so the first one is very easy to answer based upon the last passage that we just looked at in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. He says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who has called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who would pervert the doctrine of Christ or the gospel of Christ." And so the doctrine, the word doctrine simply means teaching. And so any the teaching that must be taught today must be that which Christ wants us to teach. Because the next verse is the verse we read earlier. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you received, let him be accursed. That is also repeated in 2 John verses 9 through 11, where he says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ or the teaching of Christ has not God. And whosoever abides in the doctrine of Christ, or the teaching of Christ, has both the Father and the Son. If some come to you and bring not this doctrine, let them not in your house, neither bid them Godspeed, for he who bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. And so we cannot go beyond this teaching that we're reading about in the Bible. And so that's what the word doctrine literally means, the idea of the teachings of Christ, his word. We call it the New Testament, and so that's what we have to go by and to defend and to go by that and find all the answers there, because it furnishes us completely to every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. That was 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and also 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 will help you in that. Now, as far as the name of the church, well, Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 18, I will build my church. And so if the church belongs to him, when he said my church, then who should be receiving the glory for it? Then obviously that would be, yes, Christ. He is the one that died and purchased it with his blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 brings out. And so the church belonging to Christ, that which would be in full honor to him who owns it. For example, your house, Margaret, could someone say that is the house of Margaret or the apartment of Margaret, wherever you live? And that would be appropriate, because that would mean you're the one that has the say-so of what goes on those premises. You own it, or you are at least leasing it for a time. And so that's the idea of the church. The people that belong to Christ belong to him, so he's the one to receive all the glory. Is there a name like a denominational name today? No. They were referred to as the churches of Christ in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. They were referred to as the church of God in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. The church of the firstborn is also a reference, and some others, and all of them are giving glory and honor to him who deserves it, namely Jesus Christ. Margaret, I hope that helps you very much. I pray that that was helpful to you. Be sure to enroll in that correspondence course at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge, is just in case you've not received that yet. Again, all of these things that we offer are free. Please do not send us your money. 553-5157 is the number to call to receive that correspondence course and any other information that we offer here on the program today. Now you can call right now to get in your question. The lines are now available, 308-9564. The lines are available, 308-9564.
We have another question. The caller name is Thomas, calling from Latson. Thomas, we appreciate you listening today. Thomas says, who ordains pastors or deacons in the church today? Well, Thomas, as always, we have to go to God's Word for the answer. And what we find is that, again, the same person or the same one who ordained them back in the first century when the church was established is the same one that's going to do it today. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, what we find is qualifications given for the pastors. Now, that word pastor means shepherd. Also, it's the same position or same role as the bishop or the elder, one who oversees the flock. And what we have in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is, again, these qualifications for the overseer or the bishops. We also have a qualification for deacons. And thus, it was the local flock that was going to select these individuals who were qualified to hold that role of pastors or deacon. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, Paul says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, apt to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission, and so on. The text goes to give all those qualifications. I encourage our listeners to read all of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then in verse 8, it gives the qualifications for the deacons. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mysteries of the faith with a pure conscience. And it goes on. And so here, God is the one who tells us what the qualifications for individuals who will hold this positional role is. And thus, it is God who will do the selecting when individuals meet these standards. Also, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, we see Paul telling Titus that the very reason he left them there in Crete was to set things in order. And one of the things he was to do was to, again, select men who were qualified to be bishops or elders or overseers, pastors is the word. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Thomas. Do you have anything to add, Ricky?
No, that's very good. And a lot of times, though, that there's positions of honor that are attached to those, and that's just not any – that's totally foreign to the Bible. The one that receives all honor and glory is Jesus Christ. And so
if we are
putting people, men of any degree, whether they qualify that way or not, up on a pedestal as if they have some kind of rank or some kind of authority – then we are doing an injustice to what God wants.
And what you don't find in the Scripture is some type of institution that was separate and apart from the church that was, if you will, ordaining someone into service. That belongs to God. God is the one that puts us into service. So join us right now. You can, 308-9564. If you have a question and you're seeking a Bible answer, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564.
We have Mr. Morgan that's on the road right now, and he asked a question about tithing and what Malachi has to say about that. And Mr. Morgan, we're going to get back to you in just a second, but we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll answer your question right when we get back. So stay tuned about this question from Mr. Morgan about tithing. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157, and the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we are back live again, and we do want you to know the questions are piling up, so go ahead and call in now. Hopefully we'll be able to get to it by the end of the broadcast. 308-9564 is the number. The lines are now available, so go ahead and call in your question. We have Mr. Morgan on the road talking to us, asking us about this question. He says, tell us about tithe. How come Let the Bible Speak program says you do not have to tithe? Well, Mr. Morgan, that is a very good question. And what we want to do is to, of course, let the Bible speak. This program, nor any man on the face of the earth has any authority to change what God has to say. And so please do not listen to us. And I'm glad that you called in this question. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 is where I turn to first after I read your question. which says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to justify yourselves by law, you're fallen from grace. Now, what this context is saying is if we go back to the old law, that is, from Genesis all the way through Malachi, to defend the practice, then that makes our faith in vain. Christ has become estranged. We're fallen from grace. And so we can't do that, Mr. Morgan. We can't go back to the Old Testament to justify ourselves. But if we do, then that makes Christ's coming to establish the New Testament in vain. Christ bled so that we can have this new law. And why would we go back to the old law to which we were in bondage, and that they were held in bondage so Christ could come? So we shouldn't go back to the old law to bind what we want out of that law. We can't treat the Bible like a smorgasbord. Well, I like this, so I'm going to pull it into the new law. When we stand before God one day, it will be based upon what His law says. We're under law to Christ, under His word, His testament. When Christ died on the cross, and the reason this is called Old Testament, New Testament, is because when He died, the New Testament went into effect. And so that made the Old Testament old. That's why we call it that. And so we can't go back there to defend ourselves. Now, it is Scripture, absolutely. It is a law, but it was a law for the Jews to bring them to Christ. May I encourage you to read all of chapters 3, 4, and leading up to this verse, chapter 5 and verse 4, and get all of the context so that you can see the whole picture there. We can't go back to the old law to defend ourselves. Now, are we supposed to give today? Absolutely. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 talk about that, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, that we're to give as we have been prospered, we're to give bountifully, and we're to give cheerfully. But never, ever does the New Testament church have an example of tithing that is not part of the new law. And so we should be giving cheerfully, bountifully, and it's nothing about a tenth in the New Testament. So hopefully, Mr. Morgan, that helps you a little bit, and I hope you have a safe journey and you didn't drive off the road when I gave you the answer today. But thank you so much for listening. We sure do appreciate it very much. We've got to go to the Bible, though, for the answer, and that would be every answer. We have another question?
We do, but before we get to this question, again, to join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564, the lines are open. Go ahead and call. What we try to encourage is for you to call in early. What happens at the end of the program, we usually get a handful of calls, and it's difficult for us to get to them. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Alita calls, and she says, are we supposed to have honor the pastor or elders by calling them pastor, elders, or deacons, or can we call them by their names? Well, that's a very good question. Again, what we have to do is go to the Bible for the answer. Nowhere in the Bible has God given men titles, giving them a name that they could use to, so as to elevate themselves above others. In fact, one popular name that's used today is Reverend. You'll be surprised to know that that word Reverend is only found one time in the Bible. It's found in the book of Psalms, chapter 111 and verse 9. In Psalms chapter 111 and verse 9, the Bible says, He sent redemption unto His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and Reverend is His name. And so when a person calls himself Reverend, what are they calling themselves? Yeah, you understand. We can't call ourselves God. You know, holy and reverent is His name. But note also that Jesus would explain to His disciples that they were not to elevate themselves above one another in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. In Matthew chapter 23 in verse 8. In Matthew chapter 23 in verse 8, He says, But you do not be called rabbi or teacher, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. And that's what they should have been calling each other. Just brothers and sisters in Christ, that's it. No big eyes, no little U's. Everyone is equal in the kingdom of God. Now, someone might hold the role of a pastor. Someone might be in the role of deacon. And that just simply describes the work that they are to be doing. It is not a title, and it should not be used to elevate themselves over others. Hopefully it is helpful to you. Again, if you'd like more information on that, go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157, 553-5157. But if you'd like to join us here right now in our discussion, you have a question and you're seeking a Bible answer, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
We have Thomas calling in again, and we sure do appreciate you listening this afternoon. His question has the idea of who has the authority to ordain? Colleges, organizations, churches, some kind of institutions? Well, Thomas, obviously, from our experience in the religious world, there's all kind of power organizations out there that are totally foreign to the Scriptures. When you look at the New Testament church, you see these men, based upon the verses we went over earlier, that is 1 Timothy chapter 3, the first part of the chapter there, and then Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through, into the teens, gives a whole list of verses and things that these men are supposed to do to qualify themselves and in order to be occupy or work in this role of the church as a pastor, overseer. Now, as you look at all of these words, that is pastor, shepherd, overseer, presbyter, elder, none of those words in the New Testament are capitalized as if they are positions or titles. None of them are capitalized or in caps at all. The only time that those words would be capitalized in our English Bible would be when they're at the beginning of a sentence. And so they are not positions. Those are descriptions to describe who they are, what they are. Elder, of course, meaning older experience. Overseer or pastor, meaning overseer or bishop, meaning someone that is looking over, responsible for. And shepherd or pastor, again, the same word, and that would be someone that is watching over, caring for, feeding, and guarding the sheep. And so those are words that describe who they are. Now, as far as ordaining, as far as someone that is has the authority to do something like that, well, there is nothing in the Bible that gives anybody such authority as that. So how do they get into that position? Well, they first qualify themselves, and then the flock itself will look at that individual and say, we want them to oversee the flock here, to guard us. And so they have a position, if you will, to decide who is going to oversee them or not. But it, again, you'll notice that we're using these terms in plural form. There is never in the Bible, I repeat, I'm going to say this slowly so it sinks in good and deep, there is never in the Bible a pastor over a flock. May I repeat that? There is never an example in the Bible where a pastor is over a flock. It was always plural. There were pastors, overseers, bishops, elders. It was plural. And so this pastor system that we commonly see as we drive down the road at such and such church, and out front there's a sign with pastor so-and-so is the preacher, or they may even have some kind of title like reverend we mentioned earlier. And yet that is never in the Bible. Not one time do we have an example where one man has been elevated over a flock. So, Thomas, I hope that helps a little bit. There's a lot of problems here in our religious world today because man, wanting power, puts himself or allows himself to be put up on a stage or a podium that God never put him there. Thanks, Thomas. We sure do appreciate you calling today. The number, 308-9564 is the number. We want you to go ahead and call in your question right now before the time runs out. 308-9564. I think we have another question, and then we'll take a break.
We do. Joy calls in this question from Charleston. Joy says, what is Vacation Bible School, and what is its purpose? Well, Joy, we don't find the phrase Vacation Bible School in the Bible. Absolutely, it is something that was created. But to most people, it is simply a Bible study. It is a mechanism to teach typically young people the Word of God. Now, where things go wrong is when it's turned into something other than Bible study. When it is being used to as a lure to lure other people in. So it's used as a trap to, well, if I have your children, then maybe you'll come, and then that will be an opportunity for me to shove the Word of God down your throat. No, God wants people to come freely on their own. Oftentimes what you'll find in some vacation Bible school is that they're providing food and games, and it almost becomes a babysitting environment for parents. And so, again, that would be a lure. It is not the proper motive. Again, we don't find vacation Bible school in the Scripture, but nor do we find Bible study in the Scripture. In fact, the word Bible is not in the Bible. But we understand that we can study, and we ought to have Scripture study or Bible study. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, King James says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So absolutely we are to have Bible study, but the motive should be to learn more about God. That's it. How can we better obey God? Oftentimes you'll see vacation Bible school done during the summertime. It is an appeal to young people, but the appeal should be to teach them the word of God, and that alone.
You know, there's too many times today where churches are just going to try and attract crowds by physical means, such as even vacation Bible school, and you ask the average person that or child that goes to such as that how much Bible they learned, and they will not be able to give you many answers at all. And the average Bible school that I have seen or vacation Bible school, a week of studies, because it ends up just partying and playing and entertainment, and unfortunately, very little Bible learning takes place. And that is sad indeed, because when Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," that's what we need to be learning today, and not just entertaining. And unfortunately, it's not just children that are being entertained today. We adults get involved and start entertaining ourselves to death as well. We will not be entertained to get to heaven. We will know the truth, we'll follow the truth, and God himself will be the one that allows us to go into heaven. And so that would fall under the category of one of those secret things, wouldn't it, Nick? That we tend to think that that's a secret thing that, you know, that God really won't know how to sort that out. We can just kind of have fun and entertain ourselves together. We're going to go ahead and take a break and be right back to you with the next question, but we do want you to know that you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. The lines are now available. You can call in your question right now, even while we're at break, and we will look into God's Word for the answer. The number 308-9564. Call now before we run out of time.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Today we were talking about the secret things, things that God knows about, that sometimes we think he does not know about, but in fact he does. Before we get back to our subject matter, we have a few more questions. And I want to tell our listeners, thanks for calling. Again, we appreciate it. And those of you who are listening, go ahead and call right now. If you have a question, go ahead and get it in. 308-9564. 308-9564. This caller, Darrell, I believe that's pronunciation, he says, is it essential to speak in tongues, and what are the spiritual benefits in doing so? And so let's try to answer that, this two-part question. First, is it essential to speak in tongues? Well, God never intended that all would be able to speak in tongues. I call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Darrell, what would be good if in your own time you read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, all three chapters, collectively, and I'll give you an idea of what God is talking about in that section. But I'm just going to bring out chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. Paul says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongue? He says, do all interpret? He says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. In this section, Paul uses a series of rhetorical questions where the answer is absolutely no. Not everybody was apostle, and not everybody was going to be able to speak in tongues. And so from that standpoint, it was not essential in that it was not something for everyone. Now you say, well, what are the spiritual benefits in doing so? Well, in Acts chapter 2, we see where folks were able at that time to speak in tongues, and it absolutely had a purpose. Tongues were not just some mumble-jumble, it was actually a language. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was established, we see that the apostles received the Holy Spirit, and that gave them the ability to speak in tongues, and they needed to because there was a group of people there from all from many different places. The Bible says in verse 7, then they were all amazed, Acts chapter 2, verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? All the apostles spoke Galileans. In verse 8, they says, and how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then it gives a listing of languages in verse 9 and in verse 10 and verse 11. It says Cretan and Arab. It says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And thus, the purpose of speaking in tongues here was so that people could hear in their own language the word of God, one. Two, it was also a miracle. These folks were speaking in a language that they had not studied. And that said to the people who were listening that these folks must be from God. That was needed because, again, the Bible was not there. You know, they didn't have the Bible during this time period. The apostles received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Who was going to listen to them if they did not have a miracle to prove that, in fact, they were speaking on behalf of God? That was the purpose then. Again, this was not an essential thing to salvation, as sometimes some make it out to be. This was something that was done during this time period. Hopefully this is helpful to you. Again, to join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564. I believe we have another question.
Yes, we have Tracy calling in from Lansing. Thank you, Tracy, for listening, and thank you for your question. And you asked a really good question. Her question is, does the Bible say to compel them to come in? And you are exactly right. The Bible does in Matthew chapter 5, 41, Mark 15, 21, and Luke 14, 23. It does bring out about how that they were told to compel those individuals to come in into the feast of what he is talking about there. And so Matthew's account, for example, says in verse 40, it starts with, let me turn off one part here. It says, and if any man will sue thee at law, take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him too. And so the idea there is that we should give heed to the one that is forcing us to go in. And Tracy, okay, I'm sorry, I just got a note here saying that Tracy is a him. Sorry about that. I apologize. And then also Luke chapter 14, 23, where it talks about the great invitation there and how these individuals were told that they were to be commanded. And they were invited to the feast, and yet some did not come. And so he told them to go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in. And so when you look and see what the passage is talking about, we see that the great invitation is given, and but yet he did not force them nor bribe them to come in, but yet to urge them to come in. And there was certainly going to be some ante to pay if they did not come in. Now, the passage that closely resembles this, and it's not in a parable form, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, where Paul brings out, saying, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men to be prepared for that judgment day that the previous verse was talking about in verse 10. And that word persuade has the idea of with a passive assistance and helping and compelling them. Again, the idea there is to get them to understand the truth and that they need to come to the Lord and need to do what God says. Now, Tracy, I do want you to look at John chapter 6 as well. In John chapter 6, we see Jesus feeding 5,000. They continue to follow him because their bellies were filled. How do we know that? Jesus turned and told them that the next day. And then he said, you need to be eating me and drinking me. And he says, the words that I say to you, they are spirit. They are what you should be drawn by. Everyone that hath heard and learned, verse 44 and 45, then they come to the Father. Well, the people did not like that. They wanted the physical. They wanted to be having the physical entertainment, or in this case, it was a food. And they turned and walked with him no more. At the end of that chapter, a pathetic sight, we see after that occurring, Jesus turns to the 12 and says, are y'all going to go away too? And Peter comes back and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Bingo, Peter, you had it. You got it. It is the words that should be compelling people, the message that should be bringing in the sheaves, not entertainment, not fun, food, frolic, not or any other physical thing. It is the words of life that people should be drawn by, nothing more and nothing less. And thus our prayer is every week before we start this program is for us to stay out of the Lord's way and to let his word be the only thing that is heard. And so that's what should be persuading us today, Tracy, is God's word, and that's what should be compelling people to come to God. Again, the number is 308-9564. You can call in your question, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak.
Another passage that may be helpful, Tracy, is John chapter 12 and verse 32. God had a plan of what he would use to draw men to him, and it was not going to be, as Ricky noted, food and fun, etc. In John chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus says, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Now, what is he talking about? In verse 33, the Bible gives a sense. The Bible says, this he said, signifying what death he would die. And it's in Jesus' death on the cross that that's what God would use to draw all mankind to him. Jesus' death will be the pivotal point. His death, his burial, his resurrection, that's what God would use to compel, to capture our heart, that we might serve him acceptably. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Again, to join us, you can, 308-9564, if you have a question, 308-9564. I believe we have a question.
We do want you to know that you can call in for a correspondence course at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. We have hundreds already on the course, but you will not be too many, so go ahead and call in right now. There's an operator standing by at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that correspondence course to you free of charge. And while we have such a tremendous outpouring today of questions and interest, we do want you to know if you live in the Goose Creek, North Charleston, or at least the east part of Somerville, we would be more than happy to make arrangements for you to be able to have a Bible study there in your home. If you would like to host a Bible study, then go ahead and call that number, 553-5157, and we'll try to make arrangements for a Bible study with your friends. You can get Nick or I or one of us to be able to come and ask us questions there, right there in your home, with a group of saints or Christians or friends that you want to be Christians there in your home. 553-5157, and we'll be glad to come to your home and have that kind of study. If you're in the Goose Creek are in the East Somerville or North Charleston area, we'll try to make those arrangements. Again, that number is 553-5157. We have Joyce calling in today. Joyce, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in your question. Does the Bible say anything about pastors' or deacons' anniversaries or church buildings funds, church building funds? Well, Joyce, no. Not a thing. So I guess that's the answer to that. Nothing in the Bible about that whatsoever. Unfortunately, the churches do tend to try and get as much money out of the people as possible, and they use such things as that to try and get that money. And again, Joyce, it is not about money. Please do not send us your money. We want to give you the treasures that will never be taken away from you. That is God's Word, and that's the purpose of this program. So, if your church has gone into the money gathering business for some other reason, then please, you might beware of that. Again, the number here is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. We have another question?
We do. This question, the caller is Ms. Shepherd. She says, where do demons come from, and can they hurt you? Well, Ms. Shepherd, we appreciate you calling today. This is a rather complex question, and so what I'll try to do is answer it thinly, and if you would like more information, you can just call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157, 553-5157. First of all, where do demons come from? Well, what we best understand is that these demons are the messengers of Satan. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Bible says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils, the devil and his angels. And so we perceive that the demons are the messengers, if you will, of Satan. If that's not the case, I'm not sure what they are. Secondly, you say, well, can they hurt you? It's interesting that in Matthew chapter 12, we have a setting where Jesus has just cast out a demon. In casting out the demon, Jesus used an illustration to suggest that he had bound the hand of Satan. In Matthew chapter 12, picking up in verse 27, Jesus says, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And here's the illustration in verse 29. He says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? The strong man here is Satan. And it is Jesus who has entered into his house, and he has bound him. Jesus goes on to say in verse 29, he says, and then he will plunder his house. The very purpose that Jesus was revealed was to destroy the works of the devil. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, 1 John 3 and verse 8, this is the last passage, he says, he who sinned is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that is to say, he was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Again, if you have more questions along that line, go ahead and call the operator standing by, 553-5157, 553-5157. Ricky?
Yes, we have another call. Fellow by the name of Mood, or maybe it's Moody, or anyway, from Ladson. We're so glad that you called. He asked the question, why didn't they pay attention when Noah said, come in, it's going to rain? Well, that's a good question. We're going to have to wait and ask Noah that ourselves, most likely. But we can kind of figure, because it never rained. They'd never understood what rain is, never seen a rain, never seen flood. It had never done any of those things. He was building this ark, and it looked totally insane. So the people didn't pay attention. Some of y'all may think this radio program sounds totally insane, and maybe some of y'all don't pay attention. And just like it was in Noah's day, God will have the final say. We need to be ready. We need to pay attention, because judgment is coming, and we got to be ready, because if we're not, then we are going to be in trouble. Mood, thank you so much for calling in your question, and thank you for listening to the broadcast. Be sure to call again and listen next week at 2 o'clock. We're about out of time, and we want you to know that we're thankful that you have called in today and that you're listening. Judith, we're going to have to look at your question next week, so we'll start the program with your question. So be sure to be tuned in at 2 o'clock next week. We thank you for listening today. Be sure to listen again next week at the same time. Until next week, this is Ricky and Nick. And at the board, we have Laron and we have the Flads that have been working with answering the calls. Thank you for listening today. Tune in next week.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm reading, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reaching your
dream. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same Word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.